We're going to go back to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It's where we've been the last couple of weeks. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning from verse 1. It says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." I want you to see from verse 1 that there is a race that is set before us. Another translation says, a race that is marked out for you. That's for every single one of us. There is a race for you to run. Some of you are thinking, I don't like to run. Well, we're not talking about that kind of run, all right? It's an allegory. But he's saying that there is a plan and a purpose of God for each and every one of us. See, God hasn't left anybody out of his plan. No, every one of us is valuable in the kingdom. See, you're not an accident. No, God has you here for a reason. And he wants you to run your race and fulfill all that he has for you. In every area of our life, there's a plan and a purpose of God for us to live out. And we have to fulfill that plan to finish our race. We're not just here living out our days. Another day, another dollar. That's not any kind of life. No, we're supposed to have an abundant life. It is a life of meaning and purpose. It's the very best kind of life. But we have to finish our race. You need to know this, that Satan is after your calling. He doesn't really care much about what else we do as long as we don't do what God wants us to do. You see, he is always fighting against the plan and purposes of God. And we need to understand that that's true in our life as well. You can be busy about all kinds of things, but if we don't do what God wants us to do, the enemy won. We need to realize how important it is that we fulfill our call, that we do the will of God and what God wants to do in and through our lives. Now, don't misunderstand me. I think Satan would destroy you if he can. But if he can't do that, then he just wants to destroy your calling. And if he can't do that, then he just wants to hinder you. He wants to slow you down. He wants to do the best he can, as much as possible, to keep you from doing all that God has for you. And how often we allow ourselves to get distracted from that, from the one thing that's really important. I mean, if Satan can distract you from your prayer time, if he can distract you from serving and working in the ministry, being involved in what God wants to do, if he can distract you from reaching out to other people, see, if he can just keep you back from that, we fail to finish our race. Two boys decided they're going to go fishing. They tell their mom, "Mom, we're going down to the pond. We're going to fish today." And she says, "That's great. If y'all catch enough fish, when you get back, we'll have a fish fry tonight." So they go down to the pond. And guess what? They didn't catch anything. They come home empty-handed. And she says, "What happened?" They said, "Well, when we got to the pond, there were a lot of snakes, and they kept poking their heads up out of the water. And so we were throwing rocks at them all day, and we never got around to fishing." I want to tell you this morning, you are supposed to be fishing. Don't be distracted. You have got a purpose. God has a plan for you to use you in his kingdom, in his church, to reach this world. He uses all of us in different ways, but don't miss this. You, every single one of you, there's a plan and a purpose of God. And a lot of Christians have been distracted. You know, that snake, that old serpent from the garden, he's still at it. He's distracting people, poking his head up here, poking his head up there. But Christians playing whack-a-mole with the devil is stupid. You need to focus on what God has called you to do. Well, I saw this on the internet. Did you know this? Did you know that? I ain't playing whack-a-mole. I am focused on what God has called me to do. And I'm challenging you today. Don't focus on this and that and this and that. It's just a distraction. What has God called you to do? What does God want to do through you? That's what matters. I'm not sticking my head in the sand, but I am focused on the call of God. I'm focused on the things that really matter in this world. And you know what? When we fulfill that, we win. Satan loses. But if we don't do what God has called us to do, we're not finishing our race. We're allowing things to hinder us. We're allowing things to take us out. We look to Jesus. We keep our eyes on Jesus. Jesus is our example. And as we look to Jesus, as we consider Jesus, then we see how to overcome. See, Jesus overcame. He won the victory. He finished all that the Father had given him to do. And if we keep our eyes on Jesus, we keep following Jesus, I'm telling you, He is our example, then we'll overcome and we'll finish in victory and accomplish all that God has for us. And we'll hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." See, a lot of people have the idea that, you know, it's amazing to me, but people have this idea that, you know, when you get to heaven, everybody gets a participation trophy. Everybody's going to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That is garbage. You read the parable in which Jesus spoke those words. It's not for everybody. It's for those who do what they're supposed to do. Those who were just faithful to show up. It's those that were faithful to the call of God to fulfill what God gave them to do. They did a good job, and so Jesus says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You see, some of us, we're opposed to that whole participation trophy thing. But some of us think when we get to heaven, that's exactly the way it's going to be. No, it's not. In fact, if I want you to go to 2 Corinthians 5:10. Here's what the scripture says. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're all, every believer. Now, unbelievers are going to stand before the great white throne judgment. But we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. We're going to be judged for reward. Again, yes, we are all saved by grace. But when we get to heaven, there's going to be rewards. And those rewards are determined by what we have done in this life. I want to finish my race well. Amen. Jesus is our example. And I'm telling you, when we come to the judgment seat of Christ, nobody's going to be saying to the Lord, "Lord, you know, I was running my race, but there was just a lot going on, and I just got really busy." Nobody's going to say to the Lord, "Lord, I was running my race, but you know, these people, they were mean to me, and they did me wrong. And you know, that just messed me up, and so I wasn't able to do what you wanted me to do." Nobody's going to want to say anything like that to Jesus on that day. We want to finish our race. Jesus finished his race. What an example he is for every believer. On the cross, he said, "It is finished." John 19:30. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. And if we want to be like Jesus, we got to run until we can say, "It is finished." I mean, if you're a follower of Jesus, follow him to the end. He said, "It is finished." Oh, how we need to keep running until we can honestly say those words. What did he finish? John 4:34 tells us, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." You see, we got to do God's will. We got to finish his work. John 17:4, he said, "I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." Do the will of God. Finish his work. Remember what Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? He prayed, "Not my will be done, but your will be done." And sometimes we just have to lay aside our own wants in order to fulfill the will of God and to finish his work. We got to keep our eyes on what's really important. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He fulfilled the plan of God, the purpose of God, finished the work that the Father had for him. And when he finished, he bowed his head and he gave up the spirit. He said, "It is finished." Are you finished? You are not. If you're finished, you wouldn't be here. Now, I hope that our young people certainly realize that if the Lord tarries, you got your whole life ahead of you. There's so much that God has planned for you, in store for you. But sometimes when people get about my age, somewhere along in there, they start thinking, "Well, I'm done. I've done my part. I paid my dues." There is no place anywhere in Scripture where we get to retire from the ministry. There is no place in Scripture where we're just supposed to sit back and wait to die. No, we need to keep on running our race to the very end. And there's this attitude in the world, you know, that as you get older, well, you know, you're just not really that valuable. That is not true in the kingdom of God. You are valuable to the kingdom and valuable to the church. If you have been walking with God and truly serving God, then you have wisdom. You have spiritual maturity that you need to impart to younger people. We need you in the body of Christ. And I call you out of retirement in the name of Jesus. Finish your race. Keep going to the very end till you can say with Jesus, "It's finished." So many don't stick with their work for the Lord. They don't keep their commitments to God. Some even walk away from the faith altogether. Amazing. Statistically, many of you here this morning will not even be in the race in 10 years. Will not even be serving God. Now, a lot of people that check out of the race, they claim that they're still a Christian, and that's between them and God. But I want to tell you this, if you're out of church, there is no way that you can be as effective and reach your full potential as if you were in church. You need to be involved with the church. It's his church, and it's the only thing down here going up there. But you need to be involved in the church so that you can be a part of the ministry and the work of the ministry and serving in the body of Christ. Because I'm telling you, in the plan and purpose of God, that's the way that he is using his people. It's through his church. But 10 years from now, many of us won't even be in church or be serving God anymore. And statistically, they say that 70% of teenagers who are in a youth group, once they graduate high school, by the time they're 21, they'll be out of church altogether. Now, young people, you need to say, "Not me. Not me." In fact, all of us, we need to realize we're not a statistic. But we can become one if we don't finish our race. You see, if we don't keep our eyes on Jesus, if we don't endure, if we don't keep pressing on, we can become a statistic. And I'm telling you, you need to be intentional about this. I'm going to finish my race just like Jesus did. I'm not going to let anything or anybody, no devil's going to stop me from finishing the race that he has set before me. Hebrews 12:1 said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. If we're going to finish like Jesus first, we got to make some choices. We got to be willing to put aside some things, maybe to get rid of some things, things that are keeping us from finishing strong and really running our race. Get rid of anything that slows us down, keeps us from reaching our full potential. You know, I run a little bit for exercise and have for a number of years, and I keep saying this. This will be the year. I keep wondering, how much easier would it be to run? How much faster would I be if I got rid of this extra 25? I used to say 20. I'm saying 25 now. Just how much easier would it be? But here's the point. You see, a lot of us have some things in our life, they're hindering us. They're slowing us down. I mean, it's not that we're not going to make heaven, but we're not able to really do all that God has for us because there's fruitless activities, fruitless things in our life that we've allowed to slow us down and to hinder us. And so the scripture tells us plainly that we got to throw off everything that hinders. Get rid of the besetting sins. And you know what? Certainly, sin is always counterproductive in your life. God loves us and he forgives us, but sin still is a detour in the race. It's always pulling you away from the plan and the purpose of God. And you miss opportunities. There are things that sometimes can't be recovered because of that sin that kept you from something that God wanted to do in you that day. But it's not just the sins. No, a lot of the time, it's the hindrances that keep believers from really fulfilling God's purpose. 1 Corinthians 6:12, it says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Is it lawful to watch 3 or 4 hours of TV every day? Yeah. Is it lawful to spend countless hours playing computer video games? Yeah. Is it lawful to stay up late Saturday night, hours and hours surfing the internet? Yeah, it's lawful. And then they can't get up and go to church the next morning. Just because it's lawful doesn't mean it's helpful. And we shouldn't settle for things in our life just saying, well, as long as it's not some big sin, if it's keeping you, if it's hindering you from really running your race and fulfilling the plan and purpose of God in your life, then you need to throw it off. Right. One of the things that you can see so clearly in the life of Jesus is that he didn't have a lot of fruitless activity in his life. He was about fulfilling the purpose of God in his life. And you know what? We all need rest. We all need times of leisure, but we need to realize that sometimes we have so much unproductive activity. It slows us down and keeps us from doing all that God wants us to do. And if we're going to finish strong, finish like Jesus, there are just things we gotta be willing to lay aside. It may be some ungodly friends that are dragging you down. Oh, you need to witness to the lost. You need to share your faith with the lost. But if you've got ungodly friends, what's ungodly? People that aren't godly. See, they might even go to church, but if they're dragging you down spiritually, guess what? If you're going to fulfill your race, you're going to have to separate yourself from those people that are dragging you down and get around some people that will help you and strengthen you in your faith so you can really get on with all that God has for you. Amen. You got to be willing to lay aside some things that are hindering your walk. You know, Satan, he'll just try to use anything. He'll use money. He'll use a pretty woman. He'll use all kinds of adversity, anything he can to distract you from what God wants to do through you. So what's hindering your walk with the Lord? What's hindering your prayer life, your study of God's word? What's hindering you from serving, being involved in the work of the Lord? What's slowing you down? What keeps you from being more spiritual? Throw those things off. Don't let anything keep you from your race. We've all heard of Billy Graham, right? I mean, you've heard of Billy Graham, unless you live under a rock somewhere, you know. We've all heard of Billy Graham. Billy Graham, for over 50 years, preached across our country and even around the world in auditoriums and stadiums and shared the gospel literally with millions of people. And hundreds of thousands, if not millions, were saved through his ministry. He left this legacy, not only of a life that was poured out to reach others with the gospel, but he left a legacy of integrity and character and honesty that is admired not only by believers, but even by the world. Now, how many of you have ever heard of Clifford Braun or Chuck Templeton? I don't see a single hand. In 1945, there were three gifted young preachers, all in their mid-20s. Clifford Braun, Chuck Templeton, and Billy Graham. They were all three filling up auditoriums across the nation. They touched so many lives. They were used so mightily of God. But in 1945, a lot of people believe that Braun Clifford was the most gifted, the most powerful preacher that the church had seen in centuries. At 25, Braun Clifford influenced more leaders, set more attendance records than any other preacher his age. He was tall and handsome, intelligent, eloquent. Hollywood invited him to audition for the part of Marcellus in the movie The Robe. Seemed like this guy had absolutely everything. In 1946, the National Association of Evangelicals published an article on men that were most used of God, and they highlighted the ministry of Chuck Templeton. Billy Graham wasn't even mentioned. All three of these young men started in their mid-20s and had great success. But in 5 years, Templeton left the ministry to pursue a career as a radio television commentator and newspaper columnist. Templeton decided he was no longer even a believer in Christ. In 5 years, he was totally out of the race. Clifford Braun lost his family, his ministry, his health, and finally his life. Alcoholism and financial irresponsibility did him in. He left his wife and his two Down syndrome children. At the age of 35 years of age, this once great preacher died from cirrhosis of the liver in a rundown motel on the edge of Amarillo. He lost his last job was selling used cars. And one pastor noted, he died unwept, unhonored, unsung. The pastors in Amarillo got together and they took up an offering to buy him a casket and send his body back east so that he could be buried in a cemetery for the poor. Three young men, extraordinary gifts and talents, preaching to hundreds of thousands across the nation. But only one finished his race. The other two wiped out altogether. Now these stories, we know, they're not uncommon. We've seen it in the last generation again and again. Great men and women of God who just wipe out. They're no longer even in the race. But this isn't just about those in vocational ministry. This is about all of us, because all of us have a call from God. All of us matter in the kingdom. There are people that will or won't be in heaven depending on what you do. And if you don't believe that, you just think none of it ever matters. I'm telling you, there are people that God wants to use you to reach. This is the way He has chosen to get the gospel to the world. And a lot of the time, it's not just the one that's preaching the gospel. No, it's all of us working and serving and doing our part. That's what gets it done. And I'm telling you that all of us have to fulfill the purpose of God. You got to finish your race. And it's not about the gifts and the talents and the abilities. Oh no, it is about us being willing to let God use us. So many Christians start well, but don't finish. Jesus finished strong. How did He do it? He's our example. The Bible tells us that He did it for the joy set before Him. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. What's our motivation to keep going? The joy. Verse 3, it tells us that there are many. It says that they become weary and discouraged in their souls. See, that's exactly where a lot of believers are living right now. They're weary and they're discouraged. Consider Jesus so you don't get weary and discouraged. He endured for the joy that was set before Him. When you lose the joy, you get weary and discouraged. You got to keep the joy. Seems to be missing in a lot of believers' lives. They're missing that joy. How we need the joy of the Lord. There's joy because we know that we're going to win. Jesus had joy in knowing that He would be victorious, that He would overcome. He was looking ahead with eyes of faith. There's joy in believing. And that's what we have to do in the hard times, the hard places, the difficulties, the opposition. We got to look ahead with eyes of faith and we'll have joy. See, if you've lost your joy, well, you've lost believing. You got to get back to believing that you're going to overcome, that you're more than a conqueror. You got to get back to believing that the promises of God are still true. Oh, there's joy in that. The joy set before Him. The joy of victory, sitting down at the right hand of the Father. It was the joy of fulfilling the Father's plan, the joy of accomplishing what He was sent to do, the joy of saving us. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And you know what? All of that pressure, the stress, the weight of the world that He felt in the Garden of Gethsemane as He was about to go to the cross, it wasn't just, you know, He knew what was about to happen. It wasn't just the physical pain and suffering. No, He knew what His soul was about to go through, to bear the weight of our guilt and shame, to take upon Himself, the spotless, sinless Lamb of God was about to take upon Himself the sins of the whole world. Can you imagine what that was like for Him? He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. How could He endure it? For the joy that was set before Him. He saw you and me and those people out there. He saw those people getting saved and being with Him in heaven for eternity. And we got to have that joy set before us. Oh, we got a reason to have joy. I'm telling you. Over and over again, what joy it is when we're serving the Lord and we know that we've done what He asked us to do. We've pleased Him. Listen, if you really love God, that gives you such joy to know that you've done what your Father wanted you to do. There's such joy when you see your friends, your co-workers, your neighbors, and maybe your enemies too, come to know the Lord. There's such joy when you see your children and your grandchildren serving the Lord and living for God. Oh, come on. I expected some parents and some grandparents to say amen. This is what a huge joy it is when your kids and your grandkids serve the Lord. Amen. Great joy when the Lord has used you to make a difference in anybody else's life. Great joy when you're going through the battles because you know that you're more than a conqueror through Him who loves you. Great joy knowing that you're going to spend eternity with the Lord. Amen. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. I'm going to read it again. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Consider Jesus. He endured. And we have to endure. If we're going to finish like Jesus, if we're going to follow His example, we got to keep going. We got to endure. Amen. He endured the cross. For Jesus, the cross was part of the plan and will of God. And for you and I, we need to understand when Jesus says we're to take up our cross daily, He's talking about us taking up the plan and the purpose of God in our life each and every day. Each and every day, we are in the race. We're running to fulfill what God has given us to do. Take up that cross every day. He endured the cross. And you're going to have to endure if you're going to fulfill God's plan and purpose in your life. Sometimes when we take up the cross, I'm going to tell you the truth. Sometimes there's pain involved. If you're going to serve God and do all that God has for you, there's going to be some pain sometimes. There is no pain-free gospel. That's phony. But let me tell you the other side of that. There ain't no pain-free life. I'd rather go through some things knowing I'm going to come out on the other side in victory. I'd rather be serving a God who's my healer. And whatever I go through, He can bind up my wounds and make me whole again. I'm just telling you, we all go through pain and heartache in this life. And yes, you're going to have some pain when you're carrying your cross. Sometimes people are going to be ugly to you. Sometimes people are going to blame you for things that you didn't do. Sometimes people are going to falsely accuse you. All these things they did to Jesus and so much more. He endured that hostility from sinful, evil people. And I'll tell you, we got to be ready to endure what comes our way to keep running our race. Because so many quit. So many don't finish. They just back away. You know, we need to remember the Christian life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. See, a lot of people, you know, they get all excited and hyped up, and they start off running for the Lord big. You know, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. In a few years, you can't even find them. We're running a marathon. And we, you know, the key to a marathon, it takes grit. It takes endurance. It takes character. Now, you see, the world thinks, and too much of the church world thinks, that it's about personality and talent and intelligence and PR. But in the kingdom, it's about none of those things. It's about character. Amen. And it takes character to endure. You just got to keep going, even when it's tough. Living a life of faith. Storms come. We're in a battle. You got to be determined. It takes endurance to do the work of the ministry faithfully. It takes endurance to have a great marriage. It takes endurance to raise children who serve the Lord. It takes endurance to see the promise of God fulfilled in your life. You see this in the scripture over and over again. Yes, there were instant miracles, but there were many times when people had to stand in faith for years and years and years, like Abraham believing for that promised son. He endured. See, a lot of the time, there's a span of time between The I believe it and I see it. But you can see it with eyes of faith and have joy even during that time when you're enduring. In verse 3 it says, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. He endured opposition." I wish everybody liked me. Thank you. That's two of you. You know what Jesus said? He says, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you." I'm like, "Lord, I don't have to worry about that. That ain't happening." But you know what? It's all of us. All of us have times when we're mistreated, when people do us wrong. And you know what? If you get involved in church with God's people, they're human. They mess up and they make mistakes. And, you know, God's working on all of us, but some of them need more work than others. But you know what? Jesus, he endured it. He kept going. Listen, Jesus, they said he deceives the people. Others said he was demon-possessed, that he cast out devils by the power of Satan. His own family at one point thought he was a lunatic. His neighbors, people he grew up around, tried to throw him off a cliff. The religious leaders throughout his entire ministry were trying to trap him with questions and accusations. And finally, they had him crucified. He endured opposition from sinful men. So what are we going to do? We're trying to follow the Lord, trying to fulfill God's plan and purpose, trying to do the right thing, and you get persecuted, mistreated, knocked down. What are you going to do? Emmett Smith still holds the record for the most yards gained of any NFL player in history. And I'm going to tell you how he did it this morning. 4.3 yards at a time. They just kept knocking him down again and again and again. They kept knocking him down. And he just kept getting up and going again. Christian, our Savior wouldn't quit. Don't quit. Follow Jesus to the end. You get knocked down, you get hurt, keep going. Keep going. Finish your race just like Jesus did. Don't quit serving God. Don't quit going to church. Don't quit working in ministry. Don't quit praying. Don't quit believing. Don't quit reaching out. Refuse to quit. Finish like Jesus. And you know what? Some of you, maybe you've had a bad start. You know, maybe you came from a situation that wasn't good. And maybe you're one of those that's just been fooling around. Here's the thing. When the race is over, it doesn't really matter how you started. It's how you finish. And so I challenge you today, finish like Jesus. Quit fooling around. Man, if you've been knocked down and knocked out of the race, get back in and finish your race strong for Jesus. You know, endurance is just not a very popular virtue today. You know, the theme of the day is, if it's hard, find an easier way. Yeah, it is. Or if it's really hard, quit. Just find another path. But let me give you some examples of some in the scriptures that finished well and some who didn't. Job lost everything. And Job made it through his great trial. And he was blessed with twice over what he had before. He saw his children and their children to the fourth generation. And I love this in the book of Job. You know, all of the disaster and terrible things that happened to Job, it happened in a short span of time. And the Bible says after this, Job lived 140 years. And I just want to tell you, you can come out on the other side of the trial, the battle that you're in, if you'll just endure. Keep running your race. There are those like King Saul who had the look, had the opportunity. He was the first king of Israel, but he didn't obey God. His pride got the best of him, and he finished bad. David finished well. We all know the story of David and how he committed adultery with Bathsheba, had her husband killed, and yet David got right with God and he still finished as an honored king. Some of you, you've made some mistakes. Don't let that be the end. Our God is a God of redemption and restoration. And you need to ask God for forgiveness and get back in the race. Go on with God like David did. David's son Solomon, he had it all, but he finished terribly. He had all the wealth and fame, everything that anybody could ever want, including women. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines, and I'm just saying that's way too much estrogen in one house. There's no way any good could come out of that. Well, and it didn't. All joking aside, he disobeyed the Lord and he married women who worshiped other gods. And near the end of his life, they turned his heart away from the Lord. It's a terrible tragedy that this once great man didn't finish his race. You come to the New Testament, you see the 12 disciples. You know what? They all had a great start getting to be one of those chosen by the Lord Jesus to be one of the 12, to be with him night and day. They saw all the miracles. They got to experience God's power in using them. So many great things that they got to see and experience and know. And they all finished their race strong except for Judas. Chosen to be one of the 12, but he didn't finish. Why? Because he had his eye on the money. It still messes up a lot of believers today. They get their eyes on money instead of Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You know, when you look at some of those like Peter, he denied the Lord 3 times, but he finished strong. It was just a short time later that he was preaching and thousands were saved. And he glorified God in the way that he died. See, we all make mistakes. We all blow it. We're all flawed. But all of us can overcome and finish strong. Paul had a terrible start. He was persecuting the church, putting Christians in prison. He was so overcome with his anger and his malice and bitterness towards these Christians. He stood by as they stoned Stephen to death. But once the Lord got a hold of him and changed his life, Paul changed his course. He started running a new race. And man, did he ever finish well. In Acts 20, 22 through 24, Paul knows that he is about to go through more hardship. He's already been through so much. But listen to what he says here. He says, "And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy." All these hardships, all this terrible stuff that's supposed to happen, none of these things move me. I'm going to finish my race with joy. And the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul had a terrible start, but he finished strong. He kept the faith. 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." No matter who you are, what you've been through, what you've done, there's a race marked out for you today. God has a plan and a purpose for you. Finish. finish that race. Endure. Keep going. Keep looking to Jesus. Keeping your eyes on Jesus always, your example. And finish your race like Jesus. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for our prayer partners to come.